Blog Talk Radio.
Yo.
Hi, this is Selena with Say Your Peace Radio Show. Sit back, relax. We want to hear from you. So call in at 347-677-1749 to say your piece. Now, our host, Selena.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how are you tonight, Mr. Brown? Lord have mercy. I'm sorry, Ryan. I don't know what I got the name Brown on my mind. Anyway.
That's all good. It's all good. It's what, Saturday night.
It's a Saturday night. Now,
Saturday night. How's everything been going?
Everything's doing great. I have
good,
a 731 on the line. Is this Dr. Short?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I'm sorry.
How you doing, Randy?
I'm good, and you?
Good.
Nice to hear from you.
I'm sorry. I saw that number pop up, and I was talking at the same time. I was like, let me get this first month. So how are you doing tonight, doctor?
I'm doing well. I'm joined by a human rights defender and musician and a theologian who's one of the choir directors, as well as one of the community activists. He's Brother James, and he's in Chicago, James Harris.
Okay.
And so we were on the phone, so I just brought him on over because I was talking to him. He's a member of that church Obama came out of, Jeremiah Wright's church.
Oh, really?
So that church is always doing incredible things for justice, so I just thought, why not just have him be a fly on the wall for me?
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. Awesome.
And
awesome.
He has a great on-air voice, so say hello to them, Brother James.
Now I'm almost afraid to say anything after that introduction. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. So, I guess I want to start out by basically asking the question. I was reading about the Eric Oliver story. Is that his name?
Yeah, Eric Oliver. That's exactly
okay.
Right.
Now, is he still in jail?
No. Eric got out on the 27th of June. However, he's facing trial for aggravated battery and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon.
And what was the deadly weapon?
Well, okay. What the police say was a deadly weapon and what was a deadly weapon, let's just quickly take that on. You get a situation where a mob of up to 20-some-odd white folks descend on a black residence.
Uh-huh.
And
wait,
so,
just one second. Let me see if this is Mr. Shabazz. Hello?
Hi.
Okay.
I'm not Mr. Shabazz, if you were saying hello to me.
Yes. I was looking for Mr.
My name
Shabazz.
Is Mary Neal.
Okay. You're going to have to hold on, okay?
I sure will.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dr. Short.
And let me see. What ultimately happens is that you have a mob of white folks cursing and threatening violence on the private property of a black family. So the police talking about this aggravated assault with a deadly weapon in a stand-your-ground state, to me, is pure BS.
Uh-huh.
You've had all these people who've been shot, Trayvon Martin, murdered. All these folks getting shot all over the place who didn't do anything, and yet you have a case where there's a mob of people who verbally state that they came to do bodily harm to a person in the family residence, and this guy gets in trouble at all. If he had had a machine gun and a stand-your-ground state, he should have been okay. So I want to tie that to the woman in Florida who fired the gun in the air, okay? And she's getting 20 years. She had no intention of killing her ex-husband or her. She just wanted him to leave her alone. She truly stood her ground. And
you're talking about
20 years.
Alexander, right?
Hello?
Yeah.
Just one second, you guys. Just one second. Hello?
Either. My phone's back.
Hello? Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry, you guys. Go ahead.
I think he was referring to, Randy, was that Marissa Alexander? Florida.
Yes. She's a 31-year-old woman, Marissa Alexander.
Right.
And so she gets 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we, by the way, they've given bail a second time to this liar, Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
Who intentionally killed this boy. His own phone records say he called him a boy. So this guy is let go, as well as all the other people that have been shot all over Florida,
mm-hmm.
who've been white, who shot people. They're mm-hmm. seen as not being bad, but black people defending themselves are bad, even if it's from other black people.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes us right back to the black codes and the Reconstruction era, where when whites began to murder black people, they outlawed blacks having guns.
Mm-hmm.
So whites could kill blacks with a minimal loss of life or no loss of life. It would be a massacre.
Man.
And in the case of this young man, Eric Oliver's mother, who I spoke to mm-hmm. last night, and maybe I can wake her up, although she's exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
She receives dialysis 3 times a week. She has high blood pressure. She has sugar diabetes problems really badly, and she's in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
If a mob of people are screaming and calling your mother names and screaming, and it's at your front door on your porch, what would most people do?
Yeah, that's true.
By the way, the first thing that Eric did was mention, hey, look, what are you doing here? Y'all know my mother's sick. And they said,
man.
F your mother. F your mother. They all in unison screamed, F her. And then they proceeded to grab the Latino guy who they had come for. He's a 16-year-old
mm-hmm.
guy whose name is Michael Velasquez.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Vasquez. And they grabbed Michael. And they began beating and dragging him on their front porch.
Just 1 minute. Mr. Shabazz, are you there? Mr. Shabazz, are you there? He's on, but he's not. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So he proceeds. This man gets upset. I mean, just come on, y'all. I'm a Southerner, and Mr. Harris is a Southerner by extension. His family's from Kentucky, and you know that you don't talk bad mouth people's mamas.
That's right.
bad mouth their mama and come with people, a group of people bad mouth your mama and threaten your family in your front yard on your porch.
Yeah.
What would most people do if it had been a mob of black people cursing a blonde-haired, blue-eyed mama? If that person had come out of the house with the street sweeper and mowed them down, they'd be on the front page of Time magazine as Man or Woman of the Year.
Hmm.
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 The crime.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Shabazz? Hello? I can't get him in. I don't know. He's on, but I can't hear him. Anybody else can hear anything?
No, I can't hear anything
here.
I can't. I got
hello.
Him.
Hello, I can hear. Hello.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. All right. Is this Mr. Shabazz?
No, that sounds like that's my friend Mary.
Okay, okay. All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dr. Short.
In a nutshell. Hello?
Hello?
Hello. This is Davita Carter. I'm on, but this is Davita Carter, and I can't hear Mr. Shabazz.
Me neither. I can't either. I don't hear him at all.
Do you have a free line for him to come on? You may have one too many people on the line.
No, I got everybody. I can get as many people as I want on here. Yeah. But he's open, but I can't hear him. So I don't know what's going on. Okay. But go ahead and finish talking. I apologize for that. Go ahead and finish explaining
that. So, just in a nutshell, had it been a black mob,
mm-hmm.
at a white person's house,
mm-hmm.
threatening and assaulting people,
mm-hmm.
this wouldn't be an issue at all. And it goes one step further. The testimony that was taken by the police, which led to the result of Mr. Oliver,
mm-hmm.
was based on the account of the mob. They would not talk to the neighbors who had witnessed it, who, by the way, were white, would not talk to the mother, would not talk to the young men that had been attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And they have refused to allow Rosalind Donald, who's Eric Oliver's mother, to file trespassing charges against this white mob.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that they were not allowed?
They refused to take a statement or a report. They refused. The police who came
mm-hmm.
refused to take a criminal complaint against the mob.
Mm-hmm.
Now what are the Randy? What are the what recourse do they have when you have your law enforcement that their tax dollars are paying for? They refuse to take a report on something that happened to you. I've never even heard of that before.
Well, you need to remember something. This incident took place in Levy County, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Levy County, Florida is the county that Rosewood, Florida, the Rosewood,
exactly.
Florida genocide took place.
Yes.
So Mr. Eric Oliver lives 15 minutes from the unincorporated ruins of what was the town of Rosewood, Florida.
We don't have any
Florida,
rights. Always figure.
Central Florida has a very, very bloody and violent history towards black people going on for over 150 years.
Man.
So the history has always been violent. And so when you talk about taxpayers, in reality, I have never seen any black so-called spokespersons ever argue that we pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
It seems as if when one of these little racist bigots says that blacks are all tax receivers, there's no statement. Jesse Jackson has enough money. Al Sharpton gets enough money. The NAACP gets enough money. All these people get enough money to put together a white paper to get an assessment of how much money black folks pay in taxes. And if black folks didn't pay taxes, we would all be in jail, like Wesley Snipes. And Wesley Snipes paid it, but at one point he had not filed. The
mm-hmm.
same way Lauryn Hill faces going to prison for 3 years because
yeah.
you didn't file. And by the way, let me clarify so folks will understand. Sometimes you don't know how much you make when you're dealing with crooked folks in Hollywood who are stealing all kinds of money, which means imagine if you filed that you made $10 million when you only made two.
Mm-hmm.
And then the government comes after you and they kick your butt for making 10 when you had two.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a history of black entertainers and other people who've been robbed. Even when they had good representation, they're being robbed every which way. So don't be surprised. You know, we
mm-hmm.
our group, we're called the Judicial Justice, Movement.
Mm-hmm.
It is a collection of activists and others. In particular, our founder is Roz Radcliffe.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one who's basically called for there to be a movement for young and older black folk and others to come together to take on the excesses of our judicial system.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I think you said Brother Shabazz, who is the namesake and first grandchild of Malcolm X, He's on the line. We can't hear him, but he's a
He's going to try to call us back. He's going to try to call, or I'm going to try to call him. He said he can hear us, but he can't speak.
He's a phenomenal person, also someone that we were totally lied to about what happened when he was a young man. And can you imagine you go through your life and the people have framed and put all this mess on someone and they have to live with it. And then, of course, we have Kenneth Ford. Ken Ford was a guy, the gentleman, who got framed by a confidential informant who's from Florida, whose name is Tanya Tucker, although she has 20-some-odd aliases. She's from the Tallahassee area. And what's interesting about Ken and Shabazz, as they both had confidential informants, there was a Mr. Fitzgerald who tried to trick Mr. Shabazz's mother into being into a plot to kill Farrakhan. It's an FBI-hatched COINTELPRO trap to put that boy in the system and to strip him of his mother and put the mother in jail. So both Kenneth and Malcolm have this person that's been put into their life by the FBI to destroy them. And there are other persons that we're talking to. I think Sister Mary Neal is listening. She works with all the cases of people who are mentally ill, who are being murdered in prisons across the country, black, white, yellow, and every other shade. So that's sort of where we're coming from. This is our initial effort under the name of the Judicial Justice Movement, was to take up this issue of this man, Eric Oliver, because he lives so close, not too far, no more than a 50-minute drive from where Trayvon Martin lives. Or maybe 2 hours, 2 hours max. Can you believe that? So this is all happening down in the same place. And we need to emphasize that Florida has always historically been one of the most racist and contentious battlefields in the history of this country, going back to what should be called the Igbo or Negro Wars that started in the 1730s and ended in 1858, where blacks, also called Seminoles, fought it out with the United States Marines and Navy for better than 120 years. So Florida has always been a conflict. In fact, the reason that Florida became a state or a territory initially, Florida Territory, was Andrew Jackson and other American soldiers went in and took Florida from Spain because blacks were running there. It's always been a place where black folks had to resist and fight back. And so from the beginning, before there even was the United States of America, there's been a fight that blacks have had to wage in Florida. And
now
I happen to... Yes.
Go ahead.
I want to say one other thing. I happen to be the grandson of a black man who had to escape from Pensacola who faced the lynching. So Florida's no joke. Great-grandson, actually.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think, with all of this going on, and I know President Obama is busy, he's got his hands full, but do you think he needs to say something about what's going on, or you think he should just be quiet?
Actually, you know, let's say President Obama is too busy. Let's just do that. Let's deal with Eric Holder, the so-called first black attorney general.
Exactly.
Isn't that his job?
Yeah.
And why does it take the whole world to be upset about these murders down in Florida before he goes?
Exactly. Yeah.
So I'm completely disgusted by Eric Holder. He's he's first of all, he's not a real African American. He's a Barbadian. It's a fundamental game that's being played in this country. I'm not mad at people from other countries that are black. I work with Pan African groups. However, I live in the United States of America. My ancestors have been in this country, at least the black ones, the better, more than 400 years. So I don't go to Africa every summer or the Caribbean each summer to see my family and my real country. My real country's here. Eric Holder is a Barbadian, and I want to just break this down because folks need a history lesson. There's a thing in Barbados that was created. In fact, I'm going to pull it up in Wikipedia. I want everybody that can go to their computer to go into their Google search field and put in West India Regiment. Put in West India Regiment and pull it up, and you'll find the West India Regiment was a group of black men who were given their freedom in exchange for fighting against black freedom everywhere else. They were formed in 1795. And the reason I need to mention this is all of the black folks from Barbados that are elite with good jobs, whether they come to America or Britain, they're the descendants of the people who got their freedom in exchange for fighting against black freedom. That's Eric Holder's roots. As a person, if you hear about the British fighting against the blacks in Jamaica, there's a man by the name of Paul Bogle, the Moet Bay Rebellion in 1865, where the folks were fighting. The West India Regiment went in and massacred hundreds, if not thousands, of black Jamaicans. That's Eric Holder's roots. And this is why certain black folks from other countries are brought here, and we just look at their skin color, and we don't get into what they are. Where do they stand? So Eric Holder, by the way, all you have to do is Google him in Wikipedia, and you'll realize that people within the Justice Department have resigned or quit or protested because he would not send out all the new lawyers that he hired to go after civil rights offenses against black people.
Okay, Dr. Short, somebody in the background got their radio on or got something on because I'm hearing it.
It's not me.
It's feedback, and then somebody's writing me and telling me they can hear it.
Yeah, I can hear it also.
Yeah, I can hear it too.
Well, I don't know who it is. It's not me.
But Doctor, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Sure.
This is Brian. If Eric Holder has this is his historical background, and we look at the president's historical background, the question pops in my mind, was this possibly set up by design?
Well, if you go online and you look up how Eric Holder and Obama met, they met at a dinner, and what came out of that meeting was Eric Holder and Obama had the same views about race. Race wasn't really that important, and that's why he worked with him. And you need to remember something about Eric Holder. I didn't finish on that Negro. I don't know who's got it, but you may have to have a guest come off so that their radio will stop. Who's ever on the radio, I need to hang up.
Well, it should be only just us. Now I don't hear it anymore.
Okay.
Whatever it was, I don't hear it.
Now, let me go on to say about Holder, because I live here in Washington, D.C., and many of you remember we had a very, very, very powerful black mayor by the name of Marion Barry. He's from Edina, Mississippi. No matter what anybody tells you about Marion Barry, this man looked out for black people, black folks. I got my first job through Marion Barry. He did all kinds of things for our people. You couldn't get a contract in the city if you didn't cut a black person in. And they used Eric Holder. Eric Holder, when he worked as the attorney here, he spent over $40 million to destroy Marion Barry.
$40 million plus
to get a man who liked women to go after a woman. As they say on the internet, WTF. Who cares if he likes women? In fact, I'm glad he likes women better than him bothering me.
Right.
This man goes, and let me share with you what Eric Holder did to the woman. She didn't want to do it. He said, if you don't set up Marion Barry, we're going to take your children from you and you'll never see them again.
Wow.
What?
So you tell a black mother to choose between stabbing a friend in the back or holding on to your babies. I get why she did it. She did it because she wanted to protect the kids, because, you know, if you put them in the institutional system, what would happen? You know, they aren't going to give them a good home to teach her a lesson. So you threaten a woman with her babies, and that's why she was the bait for Marion Barry. And Marion Barry went there to have sex, but she demanded that he didn't even know, if you see the video, he doesn't even know how to light the thing up.
That's what Eric Holder did. And ever since they removed Marion Barry, here in Washington, D.C., where we still have a lot of power blacked out from the storms because they're throwing up all this housing for white people to gentrify the area, and they've built up all these houses, but they don't have a grid that's been improved for all the people that built up the houses to drive us out. Ever since Marion Barry got moved, they've been driving black people out of the D.C. area, driving us out. They've picked, again, we had a Jamaican mayor just before this last one who's a half-breed Jamaican, like Eric Holder, one of these types. Before that, they had a half-breed. By the way, both men were bisexual or gay. I'm not picking on anybody gay or bisexual. I'm just mentioning they keep picking these types. And they've done everything they could to destroy one of the most important black communities in the country.
Wow.
And then after Eric Holder got finished with that, he was working for Covington & Burling. It's a law firm on Pennsylvania Avenue. And what he was helping to do was cover up for the mass killings of black and brown workers in Colombia, South America. Many people don't know that Colombia, South America is a country that is 45% black or mulatto. And there's genocide going on against black people right now in Colombia. By the way, Obama's sending more military aid to the people doing the killing.
Man.
And Mr. Holder helped Chiquita, the Chiquita banana people who were killing black labor union people. He helped strike a deal. So this is who's in charge of justice. If you help killers and murderers and death squads in Colombia, why would you help Trayvon Martin's family?
Yeah.
Right.
And why do black people, just because someone's black, not take 5 seconds to go and on the internet now and look up this person? And then we have to say, remember Van Jones? Remember he halfway said something about how white folks do all the killing in the school and Obama fired him? Remember when Eric Holder said that America doesn't deal with its race problems and Obama publicly censored Eric Holder? That was a signal that Eric Holder's not to do anything. Something else I'm going to say, and I'm going to leave it there. The EEOC, the Equal Opportunity Commission, is supposed to prevent racial, sexual, religious, and other discrimination on the job. What you need to know, I don't know who that is.
Go ahead. You can talk.
Okay. But what happens is the EEOC dismisses 97% of all cases that blacks present. And now there's some other thing where that people, they're knocking out the way that you can file again, which means that none of us who has a job or is working has any real protection, even when the attorney general is black, even when the head of the EEOC is black, or one of the head key people are black. You're just as messed up now as you were when everything was really white. So why would this guy do any better in Florida, where it's politically unsafe for the president to do it, and he gets 95% of the vote in D.C., and you won't do it here?
A question I have is, we're looking at President Obama.
I didn't talk about Obama. I just dealt with Eric Holder.
I'm
staying on Holder because black folks worship Obama. He's more important than Jesus. Obama, folks are ready to fight you and attack you.
Hold up. Okay, I'm about to fight somebody in here. I'm just kidding. No. Okay, my thing is, this is why we have no other candidate. See, we holler, we don't want Obama, but we don't have any other. Mitt Romney doesn't care about us. We have nobody else. Feed us. So, I mean, to the point where who can take that position? We have no other choice. We have no other candidate.
So people will continue to get shot down like Trayvon, and no one will do anything, whether it's a black or a white president. So that's all I'm saying. So when you tell me we don't have one, maybe we don't. Maybe we don't, and we shouldn't lie to ourselves and say we do, because all of this racial violence has increased since January 2009. And since January 2009, more or less, or thereabout, we had a black attorney general. So the violence against blacks goes through the ceiling. And there seems to be no effort to stop it, except for when people go crazy like they did of the Trayvon Martin case.
Hey, Dr. Short.
So it seems as if the only time, hold on, the only time that you get a reaction from these people is when black folks hold them accountable. So when you tell me don't hold them accountable so they can win because we'll be worse off if we have whites treat us the same way, I don't, you may like your logic, but it doesn't cut any ice with me.
My comment on that is
Let me ask a question, Dr. Short. Rosalind said, can you get Malcolm in on your end?
I can try.
Okay.
Now, my comment on that is, Randy, is that I want to hold President Obama accountable. Matter of fact, I want to hold him more accountable than I would a white president.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is supposed to definitely, because not only because he is a black man, but he also has a background. He has an extensive background connected deep within the black community. He knows the plight of black people. And for him not to address anything concerning us when every white president before him has addressed all concerns of white people, I think is a slap in the face. And we should be protesting more than we did with Trayvon Martin, and only that then I think he can hear, because the press would pick it up and it would be an embarrassment to him. But we give him a free ride.
We're giving him a free ride, but I'm going to challenge you and say, when you say that he has a deep background in the African-American experience, by a white family and an Indonesian family, growing up in Hawaii, whose population is no more than 5% black in Hawaii. I'm going to go right in Wiki. I know it's less than 5%. And then you go to Indonesia, and then you're in elite white schools. I don't think you have a lot of exposure to black people.
I don't know if it's based on you
would like for him to have this connection, or based on his actual life where he's not around black people. He's in Pakistan and other places traveling, even when he finishes Columbia. And Harvard Law School, he wasn't a member of BALSA. In fact, Obama was aligned with the Federalist Society, an extremely racist white organization. I think that when he gets to Chicago, in order to get into politics, he has to deal with black people.
Well, that was my point, that when he came to Chicago, it wasn't that he was, because I know he was basically reared in a non-black society, and so therefore he had, I know from my research, he has no extension outside of when he became a community activist in Chicago and connected
with the
He's
a community activist in Chicago. Let me ask you a question. Just think about it. Chicago, with 200,000 or more blacks within the city itself, need someone to come from outside to organize them?
True.
Really?
True.
I'm saying that to you because my friend in Stone Mountain, Georgia, Mr. Philip Smith Jr., his father organized the first black labor union in about 1921-22. Black folks in Chicago don't need nobody, and when Obama cites who he looks to for inspiration, he doesn't name Martin Luther King or Malcolm X. He names Saul Alinsky, who is aligned with the Daley Machine. And Mr. Daley came to power in Chicago, murdering black folks down in the docks in the 1919 race riot. I'm very curious why we don't ask people questions or look. Saul Alinsky, I guess he's okay. But Obama organizing, I can point you to a gentleman who can do your show. His name is Mr. Bruce Dixon. He writes for the Black Agenda Report. When Mr. Obama was involved with Get Out the Vote, he was brought in, put high up because he went to Harvard, and all the work was done by people under him. This man has no grassroots anything.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle Obama's father was in the Daley Machine. He worked. He was a precinct captain. We've got folks who might have come up on the west side or south side or wherever they're from, but they're not necessarily project folks or people who know. Mr. Obama does not know. He doesn't even know his own folks in Africa. He went over there in his, 30s or 20s to finally meet his African. I mean, if you would neglect... your own blood roots like that, why would he pay attention to us? What makes us important?
Yeah,
and the
right.
question about the votes that he got in Chicago, and every step that that man has made politically, he has stabbed black folks in the back. What's the guy's name? Emile Jones has been stabbed. The sister that brought him into politics, he stabbed her in the back, got her seat. And Jesse Jackson Jr., who's in trouble now.
Yeah.
Maybe had he put in a word for Jesse Jr., who supported Obama against his own daddy,
mm-hmm.
should have gotten that senatorial seat. He could have weighed in. It's with the white person. God have mercy. What are people looking at? I don't care about personalities or people. I'm looking at the end results that black folks came out of the woodwork to support him because they thought he was a great, okay, black guy.
Okay, can you expound on the Jesse Jackson Jr. supporting Obama over his dad? And
it's been a while, but he supported Obama and was part of the Obama campaign in Chicago. He mm-hmm. he did not come on the air and talk about wanting to cut off Obama's balls. I mean, if you go and look, I think there was even a response that he had to what his dad said. But needless
right.
to say, whether he said anything or not, he stayed stalwartly in support of Obama.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But Obama has, and I need to mention Jeremiah Wright.
Yeah.
Who, that's a key church, one of the most politically active and dynamic institutions among African Americans in the city of Chicago. That church went all out for Obama, and his response is to push the man under the bus once he begins moving up higher. And then secondly, if you go online and you see this book that's coming out, Obama told his pastor, Jeremiah Wright, you have a problem. You like the truth. Imagine saying that to the person that married you, that kept your wife from leaving you in 2000, and then in 2008 or 2009, you tell him he talks too much. I mean, just a very interesting relationship. And I know all the folks out there that think that he's the greatest thing since Jesus will find a way to justify sassing the pastor that married him, saved his marriage, and turned out black Chicago for his political career to go into the stratosphere. Very
okay.
interesting way of treating people.
Okay,
wow.
Dr. Short, I what you're saying, but the thing is, what I'm trying to say is, who do we have? We're saying all these bad
We've
things about
each
President.
Other. We have
we
each other.
Run the country.
And
we cannot run the country.
Yes, we can. We can run the country. The fundamental mistake of African American people, in particular the bushy ones, is that we're lazy. We don't want to organize our own people block by block. So we tie ourselves to either the Republicans or the Democrats, and who have some money, and we just go with whichever two people they pick.
Right.
I made a comment to a young man who told me we had no choice, and I said, okay, let me share with you how I feel. If you were put in jail tomorrow and the men came up and said, we're going to either rape you in your mouth or in your behind. Choose.
Wow.
Our people keep saying, well, you know, why would we accept two non-choices?
Right.
We should be running for the sheriff's office. We should be running for every – who cares who's president if you run everything in the apparatus below him? We're caught up with needing to be recognized and seen by white people.
Yep.
Instead of taking care of business. Why not be the governor, the lieutenant governor, the sheriff, the county clerk, all of these things that we don't run for, that we need. And that kind of political organization and politicization is the kind of stuff that your existing civil rights preacher pimps don't want you to have because they won't be useful to anyone.
Huh.
We need each other, and we need to say, in the scriptures they say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. those folks who truly understand this African-American experience need to come together, and the ones that don't get it, they want the blonde extensions, or they think that, you know, two men doing it to each other is a major civil rights issue. God bless them. We need to fight for our survival, those who want to live. And we're not aligned to any party. We're aligned to us surviving. That's what every other rational people do.
Okay. Again, I hear what you're saying, Dr. Short. But we're not at the at that point where we can do that. So in the meantime...
And you know what? So in the meantime, you know what I think is going to happen? I'm not going to vote for him, but if Romney wins, black folks are going to be forced to take a stand. They'll have to get off of this Obama fantasy land welfare and stand up. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be able to lay and be sloppy and be on the couch of passivity. They're going to say, oh, my God, we're not going to have the, we won't be able to vote. We won't have schools. There'll be jails everywhere, although jails have increased with him, Obama, in. If we don't get together, we're finished.
Mm-hmm.
He's been almost like a drug that's put us to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Because we think if there's a black president, we don't have to do anything anymore.
Exactly.
That's like a lady marrying a rich guy. I don't have to have my job. I can just get my nails done and sit on the beach because he's got it all covered.
Like getting away,
it's a mistake.
Not having to get a job.
Okay. Dr. Short, can
it would be a mistake if Obama was 100% committed to us. It would be a mistake if we were as lazy as we've been these last 5 years.
Can you try to see if you can get Malcolm again for me, please?
Sure. Y'all go ahead and talk. I'll see if I can get Mr. Chabet.
And Salita, I'm listening to Randy talk, and I'm saying Randy because last time I had Randy on my show, he told me to call him Randy. So y'all, no disrespect to Randy, but. I'm hearing what Randy is saying, and I must say, I can do nothing but agree with just about 99.9% of what he's saying.
Okay, I understand. I'm not disputing what he's saying, but everybody keeps saying, don't go for Obama. Mitt Romney is
not. I'm
not
saying don't. I'm not, my thing is, I'm not going to tell somebody don't
right
vote.
Now. Now, I understand what he said about when Mitt Romney wins, then it's going to make us forced to get up and do something. But still in all, we're still going to be in dire straits, even if we do try to do something then. The damage is already done.
So my thing is that whether Obama's in there or not, I don't think it's going to change for us. When Bush was in there, and then two Reagan, and nothing changed for me. Clinton?
Yeah, you're right to a certain extent. But my thing is, we're in trouble now. It's only going to get worse. Okay? It's going
can
to
I,
get worse.
Can I interject a little? My name is Davida. How y'all doing? I just want to interject because there really aren't no other candidates out there for us. And I'm a registered voter, and I vote every election. And I refuse to vote Republican, and I'm not going to not vote, waste my vote, because people died and lost their lives.
Yeah, we're here.
For this right.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, I'm like you. Who do I vote for? You know, I don't trust no Republicans, no Democrats. I don't trust no politicians.
Let me add this in. We just had an election here in Louisiana, and no good Bobby Jindal ran as governor. No, as they call, major candidate ran against him. But there were 9 other people that ran against Bobby Jindal. Now, I call them, people want to vote for the rock star, which is the most popular person. So they voted Jindal in office, and he's kicking so many tails. People are crying. White folks more than black folks. But they said, we don't have anybody else to choose from. You had 9 other candidates to choose from, but you wanted to go with the most popular candidate, so you got what you voted for. That's my point.
Just like here in Atlanta, we had Shirley Franklin as mayor. She really didn't do anything. She closed the black hospitals like Southwest Hospital, which had very good programs. She closed a lot of things. Now, this new Kasim Reed is the mayor. He made all of these promises like they always do. And I'm telling you, he's closing down public schools in my area. The area I live in Southwest Atlanta is close 5 minutes from downtown Atlanta. So they've been trying to drive all of us out because they want to fix it up, you know, so the white folks can move back in.
Okay, Mr. Shabazz, are you there? Hold up, you guys. Mr. Shabazz, are you there? Mr. Shabazz, I heard him for a second.
Is Randy back on?
I don't hear him. I don't hear him. I heard somebody for a second, and then they're on here, but I don't hear anybody. I don't know. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I hate keep interrupting you guys, but
no, that's fine. We're trying to get
everybody
on. I understand.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, ma'am. But like I was saying, here in Atlanta, they're closing down the homeless shelters. They're closing down the public schools. Two public schools right in my area closed down. And my church and community, they got together. We organized. We protest. We went to the Board of Education, all of that. And it still was nothing done, but I bet you they won't close none of these schools in the white areas of Atlanta. So, you know, even though we have a black mayor, he hasn't really done anything either. And we had a black woman mayor right before that. So, you know, she closed down hospitals and things in a black neighborhood. You know, this neighborhood is crime-ridden. They don't really want to do anything.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello?
Hello? Yes.
I don't know what that background noise is.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know what that is either.
But as I was saying, you know, we have a black mayor, and we organized, we got together, we protested these closings of these elementary school and the middle school, you know, and we know the plans, the architects and all these white people came to my church, and they was making these plans for Pittsburgh area of Atlanta, which is Southwest Atlanta. Well, all these plans, they've been in already drawn up, but what they're trying to do is buy these people's properties. It's a lot of abandoned homes. That's another thing that bothers me. If there's so many homeless families, it's more and more homeless families now because of the economy, but they're closing down the shelters. They're closing down the schools, you know, and we have a black mayor.
Yeah, well, I mean, so that's why I'm saying,
But listen at this, though, folks. Think about this. Have you looked at the cabinet that's around the president? Have you looked at
white.
Have you looked at who he's being controlled by? Who he's been? And I'm not saying to go vote for Romney. I'm not voting for Romney. I'm going to put that out right now. I'm not saying vote for Romney. It's not a pro-Romney. Romney doesn't give a crap about me, and I don't give a crap about him. But my only point is that we don't stand up and start letting Obama hear us. And he's getting a free ride. He's been getting a free ride from day one, and he's done nothing in my book that would help his so-called own community. Then we got to stand up and start doing something. He surrounded himself with white folk, white Jews, who is telling him what to do, who's going in. He's making a statement, and he goes back on his word, and he's increased the money for Israel. What about increasing some money for us? The people that pay taxes, that live here, that sweated and died here in this country, and people that do nothing get free money. Not only are they already getting it, but
I agree. But you know, people have been running our president for hundreds and hundreds of years. That's just office for show. They really don't run the country. You know,
they really don't.
The rich people in America and the Jews, they run the country.
So my point is, so why are we jumping up and down hollering since we know he doesn't run the country? So why? Why put somebody up there to make us look stupid? That's like putting my parents ahead of my own bank account and they give my money away. Or put my parents ahead of my own business and they do for other people and don't do for me. Would that make any sense? Well, you say
no.
They're not running the business anyway. So why should I put them up there?
But the thing is, you have to understand, this is just America, how America is set up. There's no way that we can take over America and do all that. It's not going to happen.
No, but we can do our own thing, and that's what the problem is. Like Randy,
well, we're not going to, because we're too, like Dr. Short was saying earlier, if we would stop being trying to be recognized by these titles and these degrees and all this stuff, if we stop getting so caught up in that, and just do what we have to do, it will be so much easier. And then you have to understand the slave mentality. You know, Brian, we down here, you know how it is down here. People's mindset is not prepared to come together. They have to be educated first. They're not educated on the way of getting us all together, because they'll go over to the white man first before they come to us anyway. You know,
they have the slave mentality down here. And I learned that. I learned that from moving from Philadelphia to the South. You're absolutely right on that. But there are some people that do get together and we do organize. And look what's happening with the Occupy movement. Our rights are being taken, you know, our right to protest, our right for speech are being taken more and more every day.
Well,
you know,
I'll give you a prime example. I go online and it gives me so much joy. When I see, I was looking at, and it was somewhere in California, and then I saw it again in one of the other larger cities, maybe it was New York somewhere, where the community people came together, and they did a forum teaching on black historical facts. They taught about where we came from. I mean, it's different forums, but my point is, in the South, in the dirty South, the no good plantation South, black folks are scared to even speak upon things black.
Yes.
That the master is not going to approve of it. I mean, it's sickening around here that we're so scared to be ourselves or to talk about ourselves. But it's okay for them to talk about the Holocaust. It's okay for them to have a Civil War reenactment, which is knowing what they fought about it. We don't say nothing. It's okay for them to visit the plantation houses. But what about us?
I agree.
I don't know.
We have to wake up. We got to wake up and stop trying to be accepted by everyone, and we got to start whipping our own people into shape. That's what we got to start doing, and it starts in the neighborhood. Like Randy said, we got to start doing it ourselves. We wait for someone else to come and do something. And if people don't treat you right, what mean they going to teach you right?
That's right. That's right. You're right.
We don't understand it. We look in the school system. And we don't know how to groom our own people to be teachers. We teach our children, well, you need to get up and go to college so you get a good job making big money. We don't teach
them how to do that, their own thing.
You need to get up, go to school, and learn to help build our community. Well, how can I build our community? Well, some need to be educators. Some need to be builders.
You know what? And then back when I grew up, you know, it was more black-owned businesses in the neighborhood. We had black-owned movie theaters. All the stores were black-owned back then. And, you know, some of the foreigners, the Koreans, and, you know, some of the Asians came over and took over, and you know.
They didn't take over.
When I grew up, we did have black-owned businesses, and, you know, they were ties in the community. You know, even like with the churches nowadays, the churches don't stick together. So, you know, that's one thing that bothers me. You know, they don't, you know, as far as the black civil rights movement, the churches was like, you know, that was a big part of the civil rights movement, because the black churches stuck together and they started the movement.
But
now,
you know, the Asians didn't take over. The Italians didn't take over, and the Jews didn't take over. And what they did do, they took over our mind. They have our mind because we think their ice is colder, so we left our own businesses to patronize another nationality's or race business, which sends them to give their children the best of life, the best of education, and we forget about our own, thinking that they can survive. And then we turn around, and then we wonder why we can't get a job. Well, who do you think we were hiring in our own businesses? 99.9% of the people that black people hire are black.
But now we don't do
that. In there, and just some of them don't have any tokens of us in there. And we will watch that money to the teeth.
Yep.
It's so sad. And the churches, let me talk about the unprogressive churches. And it has nothing to do with what religion or anything like that. But for a church to bring in all these mega bucks.
Hello? Wait a minute, hold up. Hello? Hello?
Hello, can you hear?
Hello? I don't know. You guys, I'm so sorry. Just go ahead. Go ahead.
But for the churches to bring in these mega bucks that they bring in, and I don't see, and they should have enough sense and common sense to come together, not as an individual, some maybe they do, but not as an individual, but come together as a conglomerate to put an industry together to give a livable wage to the people of the community. Start doing for yourself. They have the money and won't do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. You're
they
right.
have the
I
money.
I agree.
We can have
Just
our own.
Those big mega churches. You're right.
I mean, you do think about it. We can have our own grocery stores, not no corner store. I'm talking big store. Churches got enough money to set up a Walmart size store.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have the money.
I mean, and see, and you're right, because you have, there's no way that you have over 30,000 people in one doggone stadium, and you out of them 30,000 people, y'all can't build something similar to a Walmart. Like I was telling Brian earlier, we have a store called Save-A-Lot here in this in Alexandria. Now, I get the Black Enterprise magazine, and in the back of it, it has the lady who helps people set up Save-A-Lots, and she's an African-American woman who actually sets up helps people set up their grocery stores. We have an area called Lower Third. Lower Third and Broadway is an area that really for years and years has not been taken care of. So I was telling Brian earlier, why don't we get with that lady, talk to her and see if she can find somebody who would like to invest in putting a Save-A-Lot down there, because those people don't have transportation to get back and forth. When they go buy their groceries, they have to get on the bus and go buy their groceries, unless they got somebody to take them somewhere, or they got to pay somebody to take them somewhere back and forth.
Right.
There's no place around there in that big old neighborhood where they can go. They got these little corner stores that charge you $3 and $4 for a loaf of bread, and you know they take food stamps, so you spend most of your food stamps on little stuff that you can't really, you know, you can't really feed a family off of. And we allow this.
Right.
We had a councilman was black in that neighborhood, if I'm not mistaken. Is it another black councilman in that area now and again? Right.
Right.
Right, Brian.
Right.
Okay.
They have, I mean, in that area.
It still looks the same 20, 30 years later.
Yeah.
It looks the same.
And the sad part about it in our area, as Salida was saying, we were now, when we had at one time, okay, we had 7 councilmen, 2 were black, 5 were white. And then years later, it reversed where we had 5 blacks and 2 whites, and we still didn't get nothing done.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Still got nothing.
I agree. Politics is dirty, and you know I think Americans is really getting tired of that too. Election time, all
numbers,
those doggone campaign commercials. I hate those commercials. You know, but one thing I want to touch on that you touched on, you know, I have to give a lot of respect to the Muslim community in Philadelphia where I grew up. You know, when I grew up, my dad was a Muslim, and I grew up going to mosque. You know, as a young child. But one thing I do respect it, they put money in their own businesses. They had their own restaurants. They had their own grocery stores. They had their own school down there in West Philadelphia. You know, I grew up right in that area. As a matter of fact, I have a cousin that teaches there now. She came from Detroit. So, you know, one thing we need to, you know, do like they did, they put their money into co-ops, and they take care of their own. So I do have to agree with you. If the black community would stick together and do things like that and shop at each other's businesses. I've been trying to help my husband get his catering business off the ground. With this economy, he's had to take a regular job, you know, 9 to 5. But it's been hard to even get his catering business off the ground because, I'm going to tell you, we don't, like you said, we don't support each other.
Nope.
And you know, it's not, and the thing about it is, like you said, we have to start somewhere. And my, what I'm telling you, and like you said, your husband wants to get his catering business, it, which, first of all, he's got to start in the mind. And as long as he has it in his mind, you know, whether it takes him 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, as long as he has it in mind and he sticks to it, he's going to get that going. And once it gets going, we got to support our own. And, it's just like if the Muslim community can do it, then any of our communities can do it. Because this is something we should
do.
See, Ms. Farrakhan always push it. We need to buy some land. The most powerful that black people can get is land, because land means that you can grow your own food, you can build your own buildings. You got to have something to put something on, because you can set up a business and it's good, but then when you're renting, you steady half your profits going out. So you got to learn how to buy land, and then when you get that business, you got to support it. And sometimes it makes me want to cry when I see all of my people in the way that they're living, and I'm saying, if we just had more businesses, you know, and I think about one point of employees that we had, my family had, and when the Koreans came in and my people started going to the Korean, they opened one store. We had four. And out of the four stores and at one store, they flocked to that one store, and we end up shutting down, which makes no sense. We were in different locations.
That's horrible.
And we were there, had been there around 20 years.
Yeah.
Would make sure our price was compatible. We would go in and spy on the prices. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter because we are sick in the mind of thinking somebody else's ice is colder.
That's so true.
Exactly.
You are so right.
You guys, I don't know what happened with Dr. Short and Mr. Shabazz. I tried it. You guys keep hearing something go pop, pop. It's because we're trying to find out what happened. I don't know what happened. I'm talking to you guys, but when he went to connect Mr. Shabazz in, I lost him too.
Maybe
also is Rosalind on?
I don't have. She's probably listening, but I have her muted because I don't have everybody coming in at
everybody
the same time, because that's what we had the last time. So
it may be some reason that they're not on either. Randy might be getting too much good information that the government don't want.
The government listens too much.
Do you need one of us to get off? Because I can actually just listen on my computer.
No, sweetie. The thing is, I'm supposed to be able to take all these calls. I just don't know why they're not connecting. I don't know because I'm not on that end. I don't know why, because I got you guys on. We're on. But I can't get Mr. Short. When he went to try to get Mr. Shabazz on, he went off and he can't get on because Rosalind's been talking to me back and forth. So I don't know what happened. I don't know. That's bad.
Wow. And the conversation was getting really good. I would love to hear Malcolm X's grandson.
Randy is a wealth of information and knowledge. I love to listen to him because He has all his cards stacked directly in the row. I think if we had more people do that and be an asset to the community, and I think a lot of what he was speaking of was opening up our thinking, you know, the kind of that part of our mind to make us think. I don't think Randy was saying that we should go vote for Romney. I know that's not what he was saying, but he was bringing up that thought pattern in our mind and start making us think, and then bringing up some things that we were unaware of. Because I was unaware of Eric Holder's background.
I've been reading up on it, you know, just from being on the Free Wesley Snipes page and a lot of different other things. That's why I said I don't trust any politicians, actually. But, you know, like you said, what choices do we have?
Because
I'm not going to vote for those Tea Party Republicans. And, you know, I'm not going to let my vote just go to waste, you know, and vote for somebody on green ticket. I know that President Obama has not, you know, done a lot or hardly anything for the black community, you know, but I still support him because of the things he's trying to do. I think he would have had a better time if we'd had more Democrats in the Senate and in the Congress, because that's been the biggest obstacle for him is fighting people on Capitol Hill. You know, I think that jobs bill would have helped a lot. Then a lot of people, you know, are upset about, you know, this health care bill, but I think it's the closest thing we have to, you know, national health coverage. My husband and my son work hard every day, but they don't have medical insurance, you know. I'm disabled, and I worked for 20 years, you know, in the mental health nursing, and, I don't work anymore. So, you know, times have been hard, you know, hit for my family, but we're still making it. But my whole point is that, you know, that now they can go try to get some health insurance because he passed that bill. My husband is a diabetic. He has to take medication every day. He sees, you know, an Emory University doctor. So, you know, with him not having no insurance and working hard every day, it's a lot of Americans that work hard every day and they don't have any benefits.
Okay.
And, you know,
now,
in the South, they don't have a lot of unions down here either. You know, coming from Philadelphia, we was always part of a union. They don't
my
have
thing
a
has
union
been
like
that,
down here.
My thing has been that we need to, I guess, the one of the main things that we have to do is to learn more about the people that we're voting for. And we have to start demanding more. But this health care thing, I say if they want to be fair, give us the same thing that Congress and the president had. That's fair.
Exactly. They got the best health care.
Yeah.
And what really ticked me off about that, the Republicans, they still trying to fight that health care bill. Now, they got a very good health insurance on our dime.
And they say talking about somebody got a Cadillac plan, they got a Rolls Royce plan. Now, why don't we have the same plan? Why, since we have no kings and queens in this country, why don't we all have the same health care coverage?
They have a queen and they have national coverage. In Canada, they have national health care.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing about it is that in these smaller countries, they even have health care coverage for the citizens. There's a doctor's office on every corner. So,
right.
I mean, here to me it's such a greed. I think, you know, for people to say, you know what, they can go to Mercy and Runtown and get rid of it. Well, anybody with common sense knows that a lot of times people go to emergency room on something that's not an actual emergency is almost too late. Or we waited until it got to a bad point and you shorten your life. The thing is,
right,
the dope
and that's
can
a big thing with our
African
American men, because a lot of African American men don't like to go to the doctor. You know?
Exactly.
No,
so
I'm one of them. I go, but
finally,
I don't like.
When they finally do find out something's wrong and with them having no health care, it's, like you said, too late. It's too late.
Yeah.
You know?
So. I think what needs to be done is that we have to, I don't know what it would take, but just for example, we don't have a government option. Remember, that was killed. It was bent to the pressure to be about the government option. But the government option, to me, was going to keep the insurance companies more competitive and honest if they wanted the business, or we had an option to opt out of the private company. But now you still got to go to a private company.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
What we have to do is we have to we got to awaken the people on the true facts of a health care plan. We definitely have to do that. I don't think everybody knows all the ramifications around it. Some people are going to be taxed if they don't take it on if they can afford it. I still don't know what the criteria are for those who can't afford it.
Right.
You know, nothing's totally been explained. We've only been hearing the hoorah in the media, what
right.
it's all about. I don't know how it's going to affect us or not affect us, you know, things like that. So, yeah, I have a lot of unanswered questions, and so far I found nobody can answer them.
I still have to learn more.
I've added some extra time to see if we can still get them on. Let's see what will happen if I try that. I added some more time on. Did it give it to me? Go ahead, you guys. Keep on talking. Just keep talking.
But you know, I think going back, we really look at our community. And I go back, Salida and I are from the Alexandria, Louisiana, Pineville area. Here in this area, it is so depressed as far as the black community as a whole.
Yes.
And I think, and I know it's not, I know we're not the only place. Here you have a city that's 57% black, has never had a white mayor. You had 10 people run for
mayor last election, white won the election. One white run, the rest were black. So we had nine blacks run, one white. But the sad, part about it, they said we can't come together and bring our votes. But guess what? If we had added up all of the votes of the nine blacks that ran, the white would have still won. That's what makes it so. What makes it so sad is that that shows that we cannot, not cannot, I don't say cannot, we will not come together, or say did not come together on a so important issue. Now, black business is suffering because we have a mayor that refuses to do business with black people. We have a gentleman that's multimillionaire, wants to come in with a rubber plant. A multi-million-dollar rubber plant to redo rubber for tires in our city, and the mayor would not meet with him. We had other companies that wanted to come in and do a one-of-a-kind project in the world here in our city, and the mayor, I was just talking to one of the doctors in town who's also a scientist, and the mayor would not meet with him. She's working with somebody out of Atlanta right now. The mayor would not meet with them. This is considered one of the central located. So we, because these are black people. But as soon as one of his cronies, one of these white folks come up with something, they jump up and push forward for it, and we in our community just, I mean, it's just like, you know, we're non-existent. But nobody stands up.
Exactly. And that's sad. And if you do stand up, you're ostracized.
Right.
You know,
councilpeople that do. We have one councilman in particular. Who stands up, calls it for what he sees, and they say, oh, you're too militant. Oh, you're just making trouble. You shouldn't be that vocal. Come on, man.
That sound like what they used to say in the 1950s, darling.
Yes, exactly. Yes, it does.
Didn't they say that about Dr. King?
In,
Dr. King didn't have a lot of allies.
We're living in the new Jim Crow era. They're building more jails. For our people, our young people, and closing down schools that are supposed to teach our children.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it here in Alexandria, Louisiana. That's what they do. They're building bigger schools on the outskirts of town.
Mm-hmm.
Nice libraries on the new ends of White Town.
Yes,
they
right.
give us these shut-down banks that the that my house is bigger than the doggone library that they have in the black neighborhood. They don't have any kind of books. I mean, they have they're using our neighborhoods to get grants for big communities because they connect that downtown area, and they connect that area in the district. So when they apply for a grant for that district, they get this free money. Then they build this multi-million-dollar facility that black people can't afford to use, but they use the income of black people to get the money to build it.
Exactly. That's exactly what they're doing in Southwest Atlanta, right here in
Pittsburgh community, because we're
5 minutes from downtown.
It's not any different from here in Atlanta. The whole same okey-doke is being done to us, and we're falling for it and standing for it, and we're not standing up fighting for what's rightfully ours.
I agree.
Because and it goes back to them not knowing what, okay, I got all these issues going on. How do I deal with them? You have to answer that question. How? One by one, how do I deal with these issues that are facing my people? How?
The first thing that we must do, we have to organize. You can't do anything as individual. I hear so much people talk this stupidity. I don't need to have a leader. What I need to do is we just do our own thing. See, that's how crazy people talk. You cannot name one organization, one government, one anything that ever got anything accomplished with individuals doing their own thing.
Hold up, you guys. Hello? Hello? Okay, go ahead.
No organization, I don't care what it is, from religious to business to social, has gotten anything done with...
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Is this Dr. Short?
Huh?
Is this Dr. Short?
No.
Okay, who am I speaking with?
My name is Joey. I'm Mary Neal's friend. I don't know if she's even on the phone.
Okay. All people that I need on the phone is not on the phone. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's funny. Everybody you need on the phone, they're never there.
I can't get them. Go ahead. Who was talking? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But all I was saying was that what we have to first do to answer your question, Salita, we must organize. All this craziness about we don't need leaders, we don't need a head, we can do our own thing because I can think for myself, is such stupidity to me.
Yes.
Because it puts us back. We have to organize and come with a head that can lead, and that once we organize, we then must plan.
Yeah.
And once
yep.
planning, and the planning can be anything from changing mindsets to putting the action into action, or setting up something to bring into fruition, something that we need to work on. But you have to organize, and a plan got to be put in place, and you got to have people that are dedicated to the cause. And part that plan, and that organization, that plan could be dealing with the people's mindset. It could be
what?
The people on the problem that happens. That could be part of the plan.
Mm-hmm. So okay, but that's the part that's going to be very hard, is for us to organize. That's the hard part, is actually having it where we can get people to organize.
Right. It's hard, but it's not impossible.
No, I'm not saying it's impossible.
The thing, when some people say hard, some people say, well, see, we can't do it. No, it's going to be hard, but guess what? Building a house is not easy.
Exactly.
Building a consensus of people on the same like minds are not easy, but
mm-hmm.
it's possible. But we have to start somewhere. We can't continue in this same crazy slave mentality mindset. Those folks are laughing every day at us being the stupidest people out there, because
yep.
they can come in and manipulate us, stick a doll in one person's hand and kill the other person, and we turn our back because I made $20.
Mm-hmm.
I
yeah.
got a plate of fried chicken. I got me a watermelon. I mean, they are laughing, man.
Yeah,
and
it's
sad that it comes to this, that that people are doing these types of things, and then we're falling for it.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear us?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Okay. Well,
yes.
We've been trying to get on, and I just started pushing my one button to see if that would disturb you.
About time. I was like, my God, I hate the idea that y'all got disconnected. I am so sorry, you guys. I don't know what happened.
I lost Malcolm. I don't know where Malcolm is. I'm online with Randy.
But we genuinely didn't want to. We really wanted to talk about this Eric Oliver piece. If
uh-huh.
we could just avoid national politicians and appointed officials and just talk about this story, it
okay.
would mean so much to his family. We had a lot of interruptions. How much time do we have? Do we have 4 minutes? Do we have 2 minutes?
No, we got 42 minutes. I added some time on.
Oh, great.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Can I give you the full rundown of what happened? Because it's
sure.
very important. And it's very important. The town of Bronson, Florida, in Levy County, Florida, the same county where Rosewood is, it is also in the group of counties where a lot of murders, lynchings, and expulsions. Expulsions are when whites basically told blacks to get out of town or they would all be killed. There's a place called Ocoee
mm-hmm.
in Florida where all the blacks were either killed or driven out shortly after what happened in Rosewood.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need you to understand that Florida led the country in lynchings per capita all the way up into the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Florida was a leading state where blacks died in the convict lease system as late as the 60s. You had a
mm-hmm.
case where as many as 35 to 40 black men were roasted alive in a chain gang pen. Somehow someone lit a cigarette or whatever, and it burnt everyone. They were chained up. They couldn't get out, so they all roasted. Florida has a very violent, violent, racist history that's ongoing. And the state of Florida is dominated by its northern half, where people are very backwards, very racist, and notoriously violent
People need to understand that Florida has always been a key area for reaction. Let me give you a few examples. When they wanted to get rid of Reconstruction, one of the states that had voter fraud was the state of Florida in 1876, mm-hmm. which is how you got the Hayes-Tilden Agreement. Florida was a key state in making certain that nothing would be done to in any way protect the civil or human rights of African Americans in a post-slave society.
Mm-hmm.
That's Florida. Let's segue up and move up to 1951. There was a major voter registration drive by a man who was the NAACP president, whose name is Harry T. Moore. He and his wife were dynamited to death in 1951 because they had gotten over 100,000 blacks registered to vote in Florida. They were murdered. Mm. They knew who did it, and they waited until the men who had murdered the Moors died before coming out with the information who killed them.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
And, of course, we can go back and we can do the election of 2000, where the election again was stolen. So there's a history in Florida of being a very, very volatile state. In fact, it, perhaps if you look at, there have been two, within the last 30 years, two major race riots in two of its largest cities. There's a riot in 1980 and 1982 in the city of Miami. There were two riots in Tampa, Florida, as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been ongoing problems in the Panhandle area of Florida. So it's a very violent, racist state. It is an area in which white Cubans who had had a history of killing and murdering blacks were brought in to become a new layer of destruction of our community. They're in South Florida, and then you have the crazy people with their orange plantations at the top, and then in the center where you have Disney World, you have the African-American nightmare of Central Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's segue up to what happened on June 12, 2012. Eric Oliver and his friend Michael Vasquez, also called Mikey, went to get some cold drinks. On their way back, they drove by the public health building, and there was an argument that occurred because a gentleman, white gentleman by the name of Tony and his girlfriend Alana claimed that Mikey was driving his car so fast he almost hit their 3-year-old child. Now, I want to just mention, where could that child have been for the car to nearly hit it, other than, you know, how have you ever been in the mall and noticed how, in particular, white folks' kids run all over the place?
Yes.
And they get
yes.
mad at you. If the kid runs yes. into you, you're on the
yes.
other side of the mall, and the kid
yes.
runs to your knee and falls down, they're looking
yes.
at you. So
yes.
words were exchanged. Mikey and Eric stopped. And by the way, if they were really riding fast, how could they have heard the words of Alana and Tony if they were driving that fast? So they came back, exchanged words, went to Eric's home, his mother's Rosalind Denise Donald, and they're playing video games. Maybe about 30 to 35 minutes after this initial disagreement between Tony and Eric and Mikey occurred, there was this loud banging at the residence of Eric's family. His mother, who is a diabetic who requires dialysis 3 times a week, she's severely disabled, in a wheelchair, also with a large number of cardiovascular infirmities, began yelling to whoever was banging at the door to please come in. But there was no response. She assumed it was one of her neighbors who was gagging around, so she kept begging for them to come in. And then her son, Dion, another son, she has 3 sons,
mm-hmm.
Malcolm, Dion, and Eric,
mm-hmm.
and Malcolm, named for Malcolm X, by the way. Dion opens the door, and he sees in his yard and on the stoop of the house, she has a ramp on her porch, so I'm going to call it her porch because she needs a wheelchair, are all these angry white young folk, the kind that look like they pop pills and take crystal meth and smoke weed, the kind that don't go to jail like our young people do.
Mm-hmm.
And Dion asked, what do you want? And the leader, Tony, and another white gentleman whose name is Chris Melton, said, send out your F-U-C blank boy, Mikey. And they repeated, bring out your F-boy, whatever, which is a sexual slur, blah, 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 blah. And Dion said, what are you guys talking about?
and they repeat it, you know, same little nasty terms. So I guess Mikey comes to the front door, and then, of course, the mother in the wheelchair comes to the door, and she begins, I mean, there's some nasty racial talk, and the mother says, you know, y'all need to get out of our yard. You need to go home. And then, of course, there was some abusive language towards the woman in the wheelchair, the mother of the house. At this point, Eric, who wasn't paying attention and engrossed in the video game, comes to the front door, steps out, and asks the crowd, why would they come to the house and make all this racket when they know his mother's very sick? And the response was, F your mother. In unison almost, all the crowd saying, F your mother, F her, we don't care, F about her. And at that point, as if on signal, Chris and Tony grabbed Mikey, began choking him and dragging him down the ramp because I guess they planned to beat him. Dion began trying to wrench him loose as well as Eric, and they were able, only after this boy had been dragged a significant way through the yard, through the gravel, and he had lacerations, busted mouth, and other things, they were able to get Chris and Tony off of Mikey. After that, words were exchanged again, and the white mob began egging Chris to do something about Eric. Also, Tony was being held, or it's either Chris was being held by Dion and Mikey that managed to turn the tables on him, and a fight broke out. Mm-hmm. And apparently Eric got the better of Chris.
Okay.
If it's either Chris or Tony, one of the two, forgive me if I'm not getting the exact, but it's one of the two white males who the ringleaders, he beat the you-know-what out of this boy who had cursed his mom and done all this stuff. And when the group got upset, the mob, the racist young kids were there, one of the girls, when it was over, said, nigga, you're going to jail. About 20 minutes after the fight, the police apparently had been called by members of that little race mob, and they came in, ordered Eric to come out of his house, and also questioned Dion and Mikey. And they interrogated. They were trying to get Eric to say that he had taken a brick and hit Chris. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they spent quite a while trying to make this man say he did something he didn't do. His mother asked, can I come out? And they told her to stay in her house. And this is the key point. Two white neighbors saw this and begged the police to let them speak on what happened, and they were told they better get in their house and stay there. The woman, of course, Miss Donald, in her wheelchair, comes out in spite of being told she was to stay in her house and began pleading with the police, could her son have a T-shirt, because he only had shorts on and it was hot. They said no. She asked, could she file a police report? They had trespassed on the property. She said, because a young white male had been injured to the point of needing medical attention, she couldn't file charges of trespassing or that they had been assaulted. After that, they took Eric to jail. He was arraigned the next morning without the benefit of a public defender or any representation. And that judge, a little bigoted judge, whose name, I'm downstairs. The judge basically was very rude and asked the boy, did he have an attorney? Where was his representation? I imagine you have him in jail with just basically his drawers on, mm-hmm. with no phone. He's not able to call his mother. His mother is on disability. She didn't even have money to get an attorney. They went and watched their son be sentenced. Or charged with in his arraignment for assault and battery and assault with a deadly weapon. And the judge put a $100,000 bond on him. Now imagine that Trayvon Martin's killer got a $250,000 bond when he had over $100,000 in the bank.
and got even more. And this young boy defending his mama gets $100,000 bond. No prior convictions, no prior arrest. Yes.
This is what I want to say. This is why we brought this to your movement, to let in Brian. By the way, hello, this is Roslyn speaking.
Hey, Roslyn.
Hey,
Roslyn.
before I start to speak, I just want you and your audience to know that Malcolm tried everything possible to be on this show. I was with him for about an hour trying to get on here. I mean, we tried everything. We could hear you guys, but we couldn't speak. I don't know what kind of magic Randy ran through to get through, but thank God. Randy, this is the reason why I brought this to this radio station. Your radio station happens to be the first to get this story. It has not hit mainstream media yet. Media is not talking about it. Why? This is the reason why, Saleta, because the Stand Your Ground law of Florida should protect Eric Oliver.
Yes.
Why, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same as Marissa Alexandria, the woman who was arrested for 20 years for shooting a warning shot to her husband. The Stand Your Ground law should have worked for her as well. My question to America is, why doesn't this law work for African-Americans? And I will let you take it on from there, Mr. Short. Go ahead and take me away.
Well, I only want to make certain that I finish this story, because this young man was on his way, of all things, to a military academy to serve his country.
Wow.
And now, look, if he doesn't get a family that's really too poor to provide legal representation, although much to their credit, there's a group called the Yoruba Movement, led by Omali Ashatila. He is an activist. They're in a Pan-Africanist socialist group. They've been leading and doing a lot of the struggle for blacks down in Panhandle, Florida, and Northern Florida. They put out a video.
There was a protest today.
There was a rally of 30 people, which is impressive, because you need to understand the town is sparsely populated, and the county doesn't have that many people there. You need to know that it is one of the poorest counties in Florida, which you could have guessed. And when you think about that, it reminds you of all the cases, whether it's Emmett Till or Mac Parker or these lynchings that occur all over the country the same way. I think you are familiar with the lynching that took place in Louisiana, not far from where you guys live. So, you know, there, these things are going on all the time. But this judge, I have to get back to, sentence this man, or at least put him on $100,000 bond. If the family's poor, they were never meant to get out. And luckily for Eric, his mother, an incredible black mother, who's adopted children, she's one of the mothers in the community. There's still great black women out there, even from a wheelchair, can show children that they're loved and that they matter. She went to school with a bail bondsman, and they were able to somehow get the bail down to $10,000. And on the 27th of June, he was bailed out. But he still will face the charges for essentially trying to kill someone in a stand-your-ground state where that other person that he beat up is still alive. It reminds me of what happened in Gena, Louisiana.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that this society does not recognize, and we have to make them recognize the right to defend ourselves. And if someone white happens to buy, then, hey, don't bother people. Now, one of the things we want to mention, because I spoke to Ms. Donald, and because there was a rally today, there is a need for people, if they can give anything. I know everybody's broke. I'm broke. I'm looking for a job again. I'm broke. But they have a need for for help, for financial support. It could be anything, but it should be, it would be a decent cause. This is a really good family. They're not asking, you know, for millions of dollars or for crystal glasses, but they're asking for their son to be allowed to move on with his life and to go to school and to have the support of a good attorney that won't be sold out. The Eric Oliver Defense Fund, it's new. The family's never had to face this. They've always been good people. You can make a check out to Rosalind, Rosalind spelled R-O-S-A-L-I-N-D, Donald, D-O-N-A-L-D. The address that it can be sent to is 255 Harden, H-A-R-D-E-N, Street, and Bronson, B-R-O-N-S-O-N, Florida, F-L, 32621. I'll repeat all of it. Rosalind Donald, that's who it'd be made out to if you could send anything. And her address is 255 Harden Street, Bronson, like Charles Bronson, Florida, 32621. If you can tweet it, if you're listening to this on the internet, send that out. And if you're in Facebook, the Judicial Justice Movement is a group that you can find, and there's information there. Do not be afraid to write the Judicial Justice Movement. And, Rosalind, put in a pitch for our website, please.
Our website is actually from the Free Wesley Snipes Movement, where you can also find that information as well. Our website is www.freewesleysnipesmovement.webs.com.
Okay. .webs.com. Okay. All right.
And you can go to Facebook search and punch in Judicial Justice Movement and just ask to join. Or Free Wesley Snipes Movement. Either one. Information from all of our cases flow back and forth to both movements.
Okay,
I
spoke so are,
with
are
Ms. Rosalind Donald today, and she is just phenomenal. Randy is right. She definitely needs help. This is a woman
that's a beautiful, beautiful black woman. When I saw the video, I immediately called them and said, you know, if you don't mind them, broke Negro, overeducated, that stays on his mama's couch. If you think I can help you, ma'am, that shouldn't happen. I grew up in an all-white neighborhood. I remember stuff that used to happen. This stuff caused me a flashback. That's why I got so angry, to think that this still has to happen to people. You know, I'm tired. I don't go out and bother other people. You know what I'm saying? We want to live, but in order to get peace, we may have to fight for it.
Yes. Dr. Short, you know, you said something when you said when you grew up. I originally grew up in Albany, New York, and we grew up in the projects. But when we moved out the projects, we moved into regular neighborhoods. Well, one thing you never did, and that was just rule, you do not come to no one's house and jump on them. Simply because
right.
I don't care if you do have a
child. Mama.
That's
cuss
right.
His mama.
You would not.
And repeatedly bring friends over high cussing my mama. If I had come out of that house, if I had come out that house with Chaka Zulu spears, I'd been throwing them at everybody.
Yeah.
How could I could? How am I going to face my mama if I let folk talk to her like she's common street trash in front of everybody in the community?
What
kind of man am I?
But the thing is, everyone has a right to defend themselves against their family, and the Stand Your Ground law clearly should protect him up under that. If they can protect George Zimmerman, who used a weapon and killed somebody, why isn't it working for African Americans?
I mean, if people do this, then come to somebody's own house in a yard
You never did that.
And on
you
the porch, cussing
the
at somebody's mama?
Never.
Is he
never.
Crazy? Is he crazy?
Because you
they
don't
have
know
to be crazy.
Got in that house. You don't know. It might be 30 people in that house. And if they come out that house, all hell going to get ready to break loose.
But the point is, how did they even know that those people didn't have guns or knives or what they were going to do? But all they wanted to do is to teach that community that you let me tell you what the police told the family when she said, "What were we supposed to do?" He said, "Y'all should have hid in your house and called for us."
What?
That's what the policeman
now, if
told
they if they were a white family, they would have said that.
Well, that's
no, they
bad.
Gave them
that's
that.
Bad.
Stay in the house and hide and call us.
But it was okay for them to come to somebody else's residence.
Yeah,
they had no charges put on them or anything for being the aggressor.
No. No.
Never
wow.
did
no, Eric exactly. Oliver's crime is that he was a black man who didn't know that he wasn't supposed to be a man. He's a black man who respects the sanctity of black womanhood. He's as much a hero as George Washington, who was a child molester. He's as much a hero as Thomas Jefferson, another child molester. And I can go on with these founding father child molesters. That young 18-year-old man is more of a man and more of a hero than even some of these fake civil rights people that we have running around who all have to get $40,000 or $50,000 to take the stand when they're already millionaires. They don't like to see us stand up and be who we are, children of God, who shouldn't be treated badly by anybody.
Exactly.
And so when I saw that boy stand up for his mama, I got to do something to respect whatever that woman instilled. And the boy's pants don't sag. They're dignified. They're polite. You can talk to them on the phone. Good people. The kind of young black men they say don't exist anymore. And she adopted some of them.
Wow.
So let me ask you
that
this.
We really need to do as Americans in within all of the states, all of us need to unify together and abolish two laws, particularly in Florida, the Stand Your Ground law, which is 25 states wide. But
yeah,
there's another law in Florida that I'm not sure you're aware of. It's called 10 to 20 to life. This law states that if anyone is caught with a gun or use a gun in any crime, that they automatically get 10 years. Right. Now, Marissa, a lot of people know about the Stand Your Ground law through Marissa Alexandria, but she actually was sentenced to the 10 to 20 law without even firing a weapon. I mean, hurting anyone. She did fire up around and up into the ceiling. She did a warning shot to warn off a person that was her abuser.
But you know what? Had she killed him, she wouldn't have gotten in any trouble at all, which means if you kill a black person, you're okay, but don't fire it and miss. Oh, my God.
But the judge gave her the maximum. He gave her 20 years
for
firing a warning shot.
Are you telling me that Trayvon Martin could be murdered by Zimmerman? And he gets so far nothing, and she gets 20 years for firing a shot. Both of them, so he gets nothing for firing his gun, but
exactly.
She got
exactly. Now my question to the Florida is, why wasn't the 10 to 20 life law implemented towards George Zimmerman? Because he actually fired off a
and
weapon
both of them
and killed
had
someone.
Permits,
so
right?
Why wasn't that implemented? And why wasn't he charged with that?
Well, I'm going to share with
yes.
you why, and it's going to sound funny. All you need to do, I was doing it the other day for Louisiana because I have another case we're working with Miss Catherine Connor, who is actually down in East Feliciana Parish, right there in Louisiana, maybe not far from where you guys are.
What's the city?
Oh, God. Forgive me for not remembering the city. It starts with an L.
Lafayette?
Not
Lafayette.
Not Lafayette.
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 Hold on.
I have no idea. Go ahead.
But her son, they're angry at her. And so she's, they're setting it up to put her mother and her son in jail. They have framed the son. And what it's all about is that the judiciary is corrupt. We
exactly.
Black folks talk about these courts as if the courts are, the judges are unbiased.
No, they're not.
They're supposed to be, the judges have always been the worst enemies that people have had. We shouldn't even be in.
Randy.
We shouldn't even be in. We shouldn't even be dealing with these local courts. But what I want to say to you, the same situation in Louisiana is so in Florida. If you look at the judges, they're almost all white and male.
Yeah.
And by the way, in Florida, in one place, a huge number, I'm not trying to pick on nobody, but a large number of them are Jewish. Zimmerman, his father is Jewish. And certain groups of people get more respect than others because African-American people do not stick together as a group, even though we are 50
yeah.
million plus strong.
Yep.
We are punished corporately by the judicial system, but yet we respond to this as individuals.
Randy, can
so
I make it
yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
When you were speaking on the court system, and especially like in Louisiana, right here in our area, Salida in our area, the Alexandria area, we had a case where a white male ran on the shoulder of the road and killed a family of four or five, right, Salida, a black
yes.
woman
uh-huh.
and her
people.
Three or four
people,
children,
yes.
and they got it for
yes.
vehicle side.
Yep.
Okay,
yes.
all right. And also,
and I was talking about this the other day. Mm-hmm.
Now, also, in Pineville, which that's actually where Salida and I live, it's just a river between Alexandria and Pineville, a white male ran over the median and killed a white couple. The same judge had both cases. The case where the black family was killed, I think the guy got about, 8 to 10, but the
yes.
case where the white couple was killed by the white, I think it was like close to 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
More people were killed with the black. Both were similar cases, but because the white was killed, more time was put on. And it just showed, so that even the white reporter who brought this out said, wow, you know, what is it? Why is this case so similar, but this case where the more people got killed, there was less time given. But it just shows that it's so much bias whenever
prevalent.
We are in anyway in these court cases that
yes.
you know we get less when it should be more and more when it should be less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then if you don't have the finances,
Florida,
like I said earlier, go ahead.
Florida, in the state of Florida, what I'm noticing, and this particularly happened with Wesley Snipes. I believe that it's legal to have an all-white jury, so it's legal there to have a jury of your with not of your peers. I'm sorry.
Peers, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And
that's
the judge.
More dangerous.
The judge in the case of Eric Oliver is Judge Browning, and the other judge whose name is escaping me because the two judges that do the low-level stuff in that county. He has made a promise, a campaign promise, to hand out a million years' worth of sentencing before his career ends.
Wow.
And so...
That should be illegal.
Randy, I have a question for you. And Salida and I have been questioning on this, and we think we know the answer. But I have a question for you. You maybe could tell us. We, and I hope this is not jumping off of the so you're talking about sentencing, and that brings me back to the prison ordeal and the legal slavery. Because the Emancipation Proclamation was written, can you tell us why did they have to come, and we have our reason why we think, why was it the 13th Amendment?
Well, the 13th Amendment did two things. The 13th Amendment overturned the Dred Scott decision, which basically said blacks couldn't be citizens of the United States.
Exactly.
And that was Judge Raj Bhutani's reading of the Article 2, Section C, I believe, that says blacks are three-fifths human.
Mm-hmm.
Three-fifths other, all three other
fourths.
Persons. So they talk about three-fifths. It's not three-fourths.
Oh,
three-fifths.
Okay.
Three-fifths.
Other
okay.
persons. It's a three-fifths compromise. the 13th Amendment was supposed to strike that down. But remember something: you have two types of laws. You have the de facto, which is a law that you know to be true, and de jure, which is what's written down. If there's nothing to back up what your rights are, then de facto you have none. And in reality, there is nothing to back up the rights of African-American people. Okay, Three-Fifths Compromise is Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 3 of the United States Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Dred Scott decision, which was in the 1856-57, that basically goes a little further to take the Three-Fifths Compromise to another level. And the 13th Amendment was meant to overturn that. But in reality, we're the only people that laws have to be written into the Constitution to even convey some degree of human status, which requires enforcement for it to be so. African Americans should be saying to themselves, we want a new constitutional convention for the entire United States. We don't like this. We don't even like a vestige. Do you know, you're in Louisiana, there are laws all over the country that have never come off the books that were written when our people were in chains. And we've never demanded a change.
Yeah,
Black folks seem to think, if I join the Ku Klux Klan Country Club, which charter says blacks can't be human, once I become a member, it doesn't count anymore. No. If that's the foundation of it, it's always there unless they take it out and do something to make up for what happened.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't reached a conclusion to say we're willing. The same way, white folks in the South are very interesting because black folks don't pay attention. They celebrate the Confederacy. They celebrate a million Americans dying in that war, fighting to win. Yeah, but they want to celebrate the fact that they were willing to destroy this country to try to get it their way.
Right.
Yep.
Black folks have a difficult time saying, hey, look, I'm willing to tear up some of the existing stuff for it to suit me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, black folks, in many ways, politically and every other way, are very much like the Chinese women who used to get their feet bound.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese women used to have their feet where they put this stuff, and the feet would be deformed. The feet would be crushed. The bones would be shaped in order for them to be seen as beautiful as women. If a Chinese woman, a high class, didn't have her feet all messed up, she wasn't seen as pretty. Black folks feel like the foot being bound, we have to somehow make what we are naturally fit something that's unnatural. Instead of saying, what is democracy? We surely don't know what it is. If our leaders get killed, if our folks get jailed, if they're putting our women in jail, if they're pouring drugs on us, we don't live in a democracy. We should just be honest and say we don't. It's never been here. So how do we get it?
And
that our rights do not come from the children of people who enslaved us. Our rights come from God. And our rights come because we exist and because we have dignity. And we have the right to be who and what we are. Versus saying somehow the people who've always screwed us should sort of kind of like us. What the hell is that?
I know.
So I guess maybe I'm speaking of the 14th Amendment.
Oh, the same thing. You had to put a 14th Amendment to deal with the 13th Amendment because you put in one thing where you ended slavery, right? And then at the same time, you had to add things to somehow make these people who weren't even designated as human beings somehow fit.
But did it help them legalize slavery again? Am I correct?
Yeah.
Actually, slavery doesn't.
It's complex, yes.
No, the Constitution, with its whole thing on prisons, long before those, that, in 1787, you lose your civic standing when you're a prisoner. When they took that away, it was always possible through prisons to take people's freedom away. That includes white people.
We always ignore the fact that large numbers of white people were held as slaves in the United States of America. There is a new push in American historiography to deal with the numbers of white people that were sold into slavery along with black folks. Henry Louis Gates, when he talks about black folks not having a lot of Native American ancestry, well, those people that we thought were Indian were white folks who were slaves. We find
their
that
slavery was a little different from now. Is
no, that no, no, no. They're right there with black folks getting beaten, killed, because there's a guy, Jolly Rogers. He has a book called Sex and Race, and From Man to Superman and Nature Knows No Color Line. He's a self-educated Jamaican intellectual, as Jolly Rogers, or J.A. Rogers. You can Google him. But if you look, I forget which one of the books he has, but there's a picture of a tanning box where white folks would kidnap white people and tan them and sell them as blacks here in the United States.
So if they do it to them, what do you think they do to us?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
my
but
point
once
is,
the tan faded, then what happened? They were
no, you're no, you're somebody. No,
I mean the tan can only last for so long.
The point is that that person became
the black. Time come, they'll
once,
be free.
No, once the person got bought, they belonged to the person that owned them.
Mm-hmm.
7 years though.
No, I'm not talking about indentured servitude. I'm talking about after indentured servitude for white people, that white folks were being sold into slavery from and kidnapped from places like Ireland and Scotland and sold and made slaves. Not in the millions, but in the thousands.
You know what? You're right about that, Dr. Short, because you know what? In my American history class, that was discussed. You're right about that. That is definitely, that happened.
And,
because
those white folks ended up more or less becoming black, because black or African American isn't a color. It is a cultural, historical, economic, and social experience of a people.
Mm-hmm.
An African American can be blonde hair, blue eyes, and he could be as black as a tire. What we know is that we don't like being dominated by a group of people called Anglo Americans. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And so some of the people that were brought here, I have that book somewhere, and forgive me, I don't have my library organized.
We got about 3 minutes. We got about 3 minutes and 21 seconds. Go ahead.
I just want to encourage people to read, to think,
mm-hmm. Yes.
to spend a little less time thinking about booty and sports and blunts and whatever it is, and think, because if you don't use your mind and you're not looking around, I mean, it's not going to get easier. The industrial base in this country isn't coming back. Doesn't matter who the next person is. Times are going to get tough, and when it's tough on white folks, it's going to be even tougher on us. If we don't stand together, the kinds of guns and chemicals and things that they can use on us are off the charts.
Yep.
And the one thing I'll tell you, they're afraid of us being unified and sticking together.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do, if that frightens someone that you and I stick together, shouldn't we do it?
Yeah.
I believe that's why we couldn't connect today on this show.
I don't want to frighten the people that hate us, so let us all be divided and fight each other so the folks who oppress us will feel more comfortable.
Exactly.
Do they care
exactly.
about our comfort or our security?
No.
All right.
Hey, Dr. Short, look, I want to try to get you on I have another radio show, too. I want to try to get you on. Is there a number I can contact you?
Sure. Roz will share that. And
okay.
I'd like for you to pick up Miss Connor, because
okay.
she's right down there in
okay.
East Feliciana County. She's either
okay.
in East or West. Maybe it's West, because I was looking on this thing saying, which one is she in? She's near Baton Rouge, though.
Okay. Okay. Well, you guys, I want to thank you guys so much. You guys have enlightened us so much. Thank you so much. And I'm sorry about the disconnect. But you have done a wonderful job, and I really, really appreciate it. Thank you, Roz, for the connection.
Welcome. God bless you.
Oh,
welcome.
Gosh, you guys. Thank you for all the listeners.
I'm sorry about Malcolm. I don't know what happened. We just had horrible technical difficulties.
But we can do it again.
With the phone system.
We can do it again. Don't matter. We can set it up again.
Absolutely.
You guys have a safe evening. Evening, man. It's almost morning time. But you guys, and we will continue to stay connected. We have to stay connected, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
God bless you, my sister.
Okay.
Good night, Brian.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Ross.
Okay.
Hello?
I think she's gone.
Okay. Oh, let me see.
Oh, shit, I just hung him up. Oh, shoot. Okay. Okay. I don't know what happened.